children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to MASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, addiction, and school issues. If you know somebody that would benefit from a parent support group, please have them reach out to MASC. Our confidential anonymous number is 718-758-0400. MASC is a helpline for referrals for therapists, inpatient, outpatient clinics, for all mental health issues, including addiction. So you can give us a call, describe a situation, and we will give you the best referral. And today, because of COVID, unfortunately, but the good thing is you can do therapy by phone, by Zoom. It's so much easier than having to get into your car or get on the bus or train and go to your therapist. You can just have it in the privacy of your own home. Give us a call. We will get you to the best therapist that could service whatever issues you may be struggling with or your loved one. So maybe you want to write down our number. Maybe it's for yourself or a loved one, your neighbor or someone you would sit next to, and she'll usually. And our number again is 718-758-0400. And if you know anyone that could use a free naloxone kit, another form of Narcan, for prevention of drug overdose, for opioids only, have them call MASC, and we can arrange to do a Zoom training, and we do mail you your free kit. So give us a call again, 718-758-0400. If you save one life, it's like saving the world. So share our number with maybe neighbors, friends, relatives that could benefit from the naloxone kit as well. So tonight, I'm really, really happy to have on with us somebody that it comes on quite often and always lovely doing programs with you, and that is Malky Spira, a licensed mental health counselor. I'd like to welcome you on tonight. How are you? A good year to you.
A good year to you too, Ruchama, and it's an honor really to be joining with you in the work you do with MASC, because it's such a critical service for our community, and that there's that available within the community to take care of issues that are quite serious and refer and connect people to the help they need. I'm just always ready to be part of anything you do, because I have so much respect for the work.
Thank you. Thank you. And I always say it's not me alone. I have a wonderful staff, and they're always available. Our phones are open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, till 2 hours before Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos till 11, and all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So give us a call, and we are waiting to help the families that reach out. So, Malky, tonight I want to talk about trauma. And I want to just say that there are so many people that are saying that the kids are going to be fine. They spring back like rubber bands. We're in the COVID. There are so many schools that are closed, forced closure. And then they're all Zooming, and parents are very stressed. But the parents say the kids are fine, the kids are fine. Then why is there so much talk about trauma?
That's a wonderful question, Ruchama. And given that trauma is an area of specialty of mine, I really could give you quite a bit of information. And it's so important for us to be curious about this, what trauma is and how it might impact on our children, because its impact can be really long-lasting. We don't know where COVID is going or what's going to happen. But when we look back at a traumatic experience that children had, let's say 10 or 15 years ago, like during Hurricane Katrina, 10, 12, 15 years out, they do research and they say anxiety has increased 300%, as has suicidality among the children who are middle school and high schoolers during the time of the hurricane. So we can see that even though those children went back to school and they continued with their lives, they've gone to college, they've gotten jobs, something happens when children experience something traumatic that they carry through them for life, because these aren't children who look like they haven't been functioning. We're not talking about, the research wasn't done on children who were in hospitals. It was done on typical children. They were just following swaths of children in the public school system, and they found in the broader population something happened due to trauma that left this long-lasting impact. So it really makes sense. It behooves us to discuss this rather than just say, okay, everything's fine. Look, our children are coloring. Someone just told me my daughter made a coloring book for Sickus. How could she be suffering from trauma? And I shared with her that they have drawings from children in the Theresienstadt concentration camp. Children can look like they're doing well, but we can't let that lull us into a sense that says they aren't experiencing a trauma. Their whole life changed. Everything that they knew, everything that they expected changed, and that undermines a child's sense of safety and security. We get up in the morning, we go to school, Tati and Mommy go to work, we go to shul on Shabbos, Yontif, we get together with our family, and I know today what to expect because it's going to be the same as yesterday. That's what kind of grounds and anchors children. And when that gets shaken up, even if there aren't gunshots, you know, it's not active war, even if there isn't a plane crash, what were we doing? Sitting home and Zooming. But the fact that their basic sense of consistency, I know what to expect in my life, that gets shaken up. It seems to do something in the brain and give out certain chemicals from the brain into the bloodstream that impact us in a way that has a long-lasting effect. So that's why we, you know, the people in the field of therapy that are looking at how we can help our children get past it, that's why there's all this talk about trauma, Ruchama.
Right, and I want you to know that school started, and the young children, I have some neighbors, they're teachers, and, you know, they met the kids, the young kids, preschool, first, second, third graders, and they were just talking to me about it, saying that when they started Zooming again, the little children kept saying on the Zooming, they kept saying, but this is not school. And the kids are struggling with it.
Yes.
So I really want to go to the part of what is the, you know, to differentiate between stress and trauma. And the reason that I say that is because children hear their parents talking. They hear their parents saying to friends on their phone, in person, in the playground, oh, I'm so stressed, I can't take the Zooming, I can't take... So what do you think the children are feeling when they're hearing parents in front of them talk about their stress? So let's talk about the difference between stress and trauma, please.
Right. And that's the best place to start, really. Because let's say you hear parents talking about something. Well, all children are going to have issues like that. That's something that could be stressful, right? So what differentiates stress and trauma? And I think, Rahama, that stress is a part of daily life. Stress isn't problematic. Stress actually sometimes can even be helpful. Because what happens, what would be stress? Stress is, I left my recess home. I have no snack to eat at school. Stress is, I missed the bus. Stress is, I have a deadline at work. I need to get it done. Stress is, my mother-in-law is calling. Uh-oh, what's coming at me now? Stress is typical and regular in our days. And as long as we have the resources inside us, so that could be intellectual. That's resources. That means we can think. We could say, okay, I'll get past it. My mother-in-law might be nasty, but we're going to hang up and go on afterwards. I'll laugh about it with my husband. We might say, okay, I have a deadline. I better get myself fitting. Let's get some work. If I have the words and also the emotional ability, like I know how to calm and soothe myself when I start feeling that anxious, that cooking feeling, the agitation that says something's wrong. So the idea that I get activated and a little anxious could work in my favor. I'm feeling stressed, and that galvanizes me to take my resources, draw on my resources, my emotional resources, my intellectual resources, and also my resources from the world around me. I'm going to call my friends. I'm going to call my mother. I'm going to listen to a sheer. I'm going to go dancing. I'm going to do a little retail therapy. I'll shop. I know what to do to get myself past stress. So that's okay. It's normal. And it can even help us get activated. It can help us function and fulfill whatever it is that we need to be fully functional in our day-to-day life. What happens is sometimes we end up having a stress that overwhelms us. We just do not have the resources, whether they're emotional resources to calm and soothe ourselves, whether they're thinking resources, how to talk to ourselves and make plans and organize ourselves so that we can meet this challenge, or we don't have external resources. We don't have the finances we need. We don't have the people networking we need. We don't have Ruchama at Mask to refer us someplace. And Baruch Hashem, we do, right? We don't have the way to avail ourselves of the resources that we need. Our system gets overwhelmed. That's what I would call toxic stress. And that's when it can become a problem. And when a person, any person, a child or a parent, ends up with overwhelming stress, and they don't have a way to process it and let it go and move on, that's what ends up becoming trauma. That's what we're talking about when we talk about trauma, a sense of being overwhelmed by the experiences, not having resources to be able to meet them, and feeling totally overwhelmed. And what happens is, deep in your brain, not your thinking part of the brain, you're not conscious of this process, just like you're not conscious of breathing or of your heart pumping. You don't do anything to make your heart pump. It happens on its own. So in our brain, we have a part that says stress, overwhelming, danger, and it starts coursing chemicals through our system trying to help us get done, so we can fight, we can flee, we can take action. Something is wrong, we're overwhelmed, we're not able to do it, or it may freeze us down, and then we're stuck. Then we're trapped in our trauma, which is our stress response. It's really a response to toxic stress. So imagine this example that you're giving here, where you say the children have the stress, they hear parents talking about this, and parents are concerned. Well, yes, that's going to lead into trauma. That's going to lead us to a place where children feel this is overwhelming. Because children hear parents talking about things all the time, and parents might sound upset. But as long as they have parents who are soothing and calming them, as long as they have those resources that they need to get past it, it may just stay, Ruchama, as stress, and they'll be okay. But when we're talking about toxic stress that turns into trauma, it's the parents are anxious, the parents are concerned, the children feel this. It's like a contagious experience. And the children also become anxious and concerned, and they can't even turn to their parents to come and soothe them, because the very resources that usually is the point of their calming and soothing is anxious itself. So they can't anchor themselves. And if that happens and they get overwhelmed, then they're traumatized. And if that's not taken care of, it turns into post-traumatic stress, which means we really want to know about this, because if not, if we can't take action as parents to help calm and soothe our children, then their stress is going to be something that stays with them. It's just going to accompany them a lifetime. And you know, Rucham, it's really concerning. Can I share with you a statistic? I just thought this was so fascinating, Ruchama. You know, research shows that 25% of 13 to 18-year-olds suffer from anxiety, 6% to the extent that they have an anxiety disorder. We're talking about a lot of anxiety, and that's pre-COVID, okay? But I want to share with you a statistic that's even more concerning. When they did a study and they asked children, are you feeling anxious? 20% of children said they worry very much. And only 3% of the parents thought the children are worrying a lot. So you have a lot of worrying going on in general, that children are walking around with this feeling of anxiousness and stress, and the parents aren't recognizing it. And that leads back to what you were saying about the rubber band, you know? Because we look at them and we say, oh, they kind of, you know, it's like you pull a rubber band, they flip right back. Look, they're drawing pictures, they're playing, they're out in the park, they're having play dates, they're dealing with it, it's fine. But the truth is, we as adults very often are not attuned, we're not picking up the messages of our children. And that's where I think our talk really comes in, just to be able to help our children, to be able to help the parents recognize on their children, don't be lulled into the sense that, oh, they're fine, everything is okay. In general, our children are walking around with much more anxiety than we realize. And then when we exacerbate it by what you're saying now, kids are going back to school, are they Zooming? And it doesn't feel like school, and it doesn't feel right. And now it's turning winter again, and the nights are going to come earlier, it's dark, and they're home, and they're home all day, and their parents are out, or their parents are home, parents are working, kids aren't in school. It's a really complicated time. There's a lot of stress here for children. It's very, very easy for the situations that they're facing to overwhelm their capacity to face it, and to overwhelm the capacity for their parents, too. That's why it turns into toxic stress, and if we can't process that, it turns into trauma.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you, when I started MASC 23 years ago, it was a helpline for parents with drugs, alcohol, off the derech. But, of course, 23 years later, the last 12 years, it's mainly about prevention for at-risk. And we get 15, 20 families a day calling about prevention. And those are the best phone calls because they're calling early. But I do want to bring up that anxiety, stress and anxiety is the number one reason that parents have been calling since COVID. They're calling that their children have anxiety, they themselves have anxiety. Those have become the most popular topic at MASC every day, and that's 6 days a week and most Shabbos, that families call struggling with somebody that has anxiety. So it's important to recognize that the earlier you deal with this anxiety, the better off you are. One is. I do want to bring up also something painful to discuss, and that is during COVID, we have lost so many lives during COVID. Lo aleinu, Hashem yishmar, COVID is still happening, but people during Shiva, I've said this many times on the air, that people during Shiva, when they're offered therapy, somebody to come into the family to speak to the children, more often than not, the family member, the parent, the you know, whoever it is at the time, says, no, my child's fine, laughing with her friends. He seems to be okay. Malky, it comes out many years later when the parent, you know, does call for, you know, something years later, and we ask about, you know, what happened in their life when they may have been younger, and they say, well, they lost a parent when they were very young, a sibling, Lelaleno, Shemi Shmart, whatever it may have been. Did you get help for them then? No. We didn't realize they seemed fine, so we did not get help then. And now they're saying that you didn't let us talk. You said we were fine. You didn't give us somebody. You didn't give us the opportunity to speak to somebody. So when they say kids are resilient, are they resilient? I mean, when it comes to, you know, the pain of today's day and age, COVID, no school, parents stressing, somebody may have the gene of depression, you know, before COVID even began. So we need to think about that. Will they snap back like rubber band?
You know, Ruchama, what you're talking is resonating with me so deeply. There's a wonderful research scientist. His name is Gabor Mate, and he is one of the people who single-handedly transformed the treatment of addictions, what you really specialize in most. And he moved it away from a moral issue and even away from a medical issue to a trauma issue. He talks about complex trauma, which is my area of specialty. So that's something I've done a lot of research about. And what he said is so poignant, and I think that you're going to relate to this, and I think our listeners probably will also. He says, not all trauma results in addiction, but all addiction is a result of trauma.
Right.
Now, just think about that when we think about COVID. Right?
Yeah.
And we talk about this being a trauma, and if we as parents keep take our heads and stick them under the sand like an ostrich and say, kids are fine, kids are okay, just get them back into school, get them back as normal, life as usual, they look fine, and we're not ready to say these kids are very discombobulated, you know? They're disturbed at a level subconsciously that they're not even aware of. Their sense of safety and security has been really shaken up. We have to know that not all trauma ends up in addiction, but all addiction started in trauma. Now, the trauma that doesn't end up in addiction, where does it go? And there are also all different kinds of addictions. Sometimes they're what we expect, like alcohol or drugs or internet, but sometimes it can be doing too much chesed and just neglecting your family. It can be working too much. I mean, there are a lot of different addictions that we might not think of as being typical addictions, but if we don't recognize and address the fact that our children are experiencing a trauma, we leave them wide open to a lifetime of problems. And you know what's sad? What you said again resonated so much. At the time, they seem fine. When does it come up later? The children hit a speed bump in their life. They seem resilient because they split off the distress. And a lot of times the pain, the distress, the insecurity, the sadness, that feeling of overwhelmed inability to deal with the challenge that they're facing, they split it off because it's too painful. That means they push it out of their conscious awareness. Now it sits there. That's like a cut that you don't put a Band-Aid on because you're not aware that you're bleeding. So you keep bleeding. So it bleeds and bleeds away without their awareness. Something happens that sets them off. Some trigger comes in their life, and it could be a small trigger. But because there's that trauma, the trace of their childhood trauma that was never addressed, that burgeons up and all of a sudden takes them over. And then, Ruchama, they're not calling you for prevention, which could be done easily. Then they're reaching out and they have some kind of crisis. And then they have to go back and unpack all that messy work. So I'm so glad you gave me an opportunity to share this, because parents can be empowered by the knowledge. You know, COVID is something that's here. We don't have a choice, but how we treat it, how we react to it, that's our choice.
Right. And do you want to offer a tip on how to help your child move past trauma? We only have 3 minutes left, so what would you like to say to these parents?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is the biggest tip is talk to your children. Build a relationship with your children, because it's in that relationship where you're attuned and you're not saying, oh, it's nothing, don't make a big deal, everybody's doing it. You're not saying, why are you so chutzpahdik? Their chutzpah is from their sense of being unsettled. Or why are you so depressed? Or start paying attention. Just snap back into it, everyone around you is. When we work to build relationship and understand and be attuned to our children's experiences, I think that's probably the most important tip that parents can pay attention to during this time. So even if you ordinarily tend to think of it as acting out, think of it now as trauma bubbling.
Absolutely. Malky, before we run out of time, please, let's talk about, for 1 minute we have it, to talk about our collaboration with Best Parenting in the Shadow of COVID. Would you like to make that announcement, please?
Sure. So we'll be starting in collaboration with MASC. Myself, I'm a therapist, and I specialize in complex trauma, and I'll be joined by my sister, Ribson Esther Flintenstein, who is a specialist in complex trauma as well. We'll be starting an 8-week series, a masterclass. You can connect to us by Zoom or via hotline. There'll be recordings afterwards as well. And the idea is, how do we parent specifically to address trauma so COVID doesn't become something that our children respond to and react to in negative ways over their lifetime? COVID is still here. And we can parent in a way now so that the children can, as they're going, let off the toxicity and they don't take it with them. So that's what this is about.
Okay.
And if you're interested, you can call in.
Call MASC. You can just give MASC a call, and we will let you know how to get in touch with Malky. We're running out of time. I'm sorry, but it's wonderful having you on. Thank you, and hope to have you on again soon.
It's a pleasure and an honor to collaborate with anything that has to do with MASC, because it's such a resource. And people, if you need it, pick up that phone and call, because we're here behind. Ruchama has the best people to help you. So much experience. And they'll be there to get you through whatever your difficulty is.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is Lezecha Nishma Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you, and have a good night.
If you have been suffering with fatigue, pain, gastrointestinal problems, anxiety, brain fog, weight gain, and have been to doctors who haven't found the answers, the Kelman Wellness Center can help. Best-selling medical author Dr. Raphael Kelman, a holistic medical doctor and internist, specializes in unexplained complex health issues. Dr. Kelman finds the root cause of your illness. Through advanced testing methods and a combination of traditional and holistic healing methods, he has helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call the Kelman Wellness Center at 833-MD-HELP-ME for more information about how Dr. Kelman can help you feel your best. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME. Learn more about the Kelman Wellness Center at kelmancenter.com. Call now for your free 10-minute consultation. That number again, 833-MD-HELP-ME. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.